One, two, three, go. God damn it, Zoom. That is so disturbing. Hi. Welcome to Binary Jazz. If we didn't have really bad intros to start, we definitely do now that Zoom is yelling at us that we're recording. This is a podcast that includes three individuals, myself being one of them. I am Chris, Jazz Sequence on the internet. I am joined with Gary, who's Binary Gary on the internet, and Allison, who's Allison Plus on the internet. And we do a show called Binary Jazz, wherein someone has a topic and Gary and I try to figure out what it is. Usually it's Allison that has the topic, and then Gary and I try to figure out what that topic means or something. It's a show, it's a thing, it's fun. We've been doing it for a really long time.
We've covered everything from Dyson spheres to petrichor to, what was the one I was thinking about yesterday? I was thinking about one yesterday and realized how enriched my life is because of this show. So.
And then
you promptly forgot the specific topic.
Yeah, you can't even remember what the topic was.
Yeah. Well, no, it wasn't pertinent what the topic was. It was more pertinent that, like, the topic was relevant to something else I was doing. Maybe if I remember what that was, I don't know what the topic was. It doesn't matter.
I would like to share the one piece of feedback that we've gotten. Now, usually we do this at the end, but this...
Oh, this doesn't bode well.
Yeah, no, it's this was on YouTube.
Oh, well, never mind.
I don't know if the comment still exists. I haven't gone and checked. It's on episode 101010, which is Daffynition. And user Doge says, hey.
Hey.
That is the one piece of feedback we've gotten in 2 weeks.
So you heard it here first by Dogecoin.
So I would like to also say, hey.
I was concerned you were going to give some piece of feedback and then it was going to be in my head for the entire episode and like second guessing. But that is definitely not the case here.
Yeah, no.
Not even close.
No, hey. No. Hey.
Now you can just second guess for normal reasons.
Yeah.
Right. The normal, you know, amount that allegedly humans do. I don't know.
We took a break last week. We're back. How's everyone feeling?
Actually, we recorded a super secret episode last week.
So secret that we didn't even know we recorded.
And we deleted it.
Yeah.
The executive board, all three of us met.
The executive board.
To discuss the future of the show. And the outcome.
And we decided that it has no future.
But the outcome was.
We should all just give up today.
Maybe we might need to pick a different time when we record. I don't know. We'll find out in the future. Yeah. So. Did everybody. Chris, did you take Monday off?
Nope.
Allison, did you take Monday off?
Not a holiday here.
Yeah, I didn't think it was, but. I don't know.
We just don't celebrate everybody else's veterans.
It seemed like maybe it was a holiday or a bank holiday of some kind in the UK, but it was obviously not Memorial Day, but I don't know what it was. But there's a whole bunch of people that I work with on my team that also took like Monday or Friday and Monday off.
Yeah.
I did not.
For the first time in years, I'm at a company that is... a company that has adopted U.S. federal holidays. I'm not excited about taking Memorial Day off. I'd rather just work. And I'm sure I could have traded it in that I wanted to, but it was like, whatever, it's fine. I'll just take it off. 3-day weekend that somebody is forcing on me is kind of nice. Short story boring. Like, it's the first time in a while that I've had like U.S. federal days off. And in my head, like, I didn't think this through that, like, hey, if it's a federal holiday, a bunch of stuff's going to be closed. So right. I'm like, let's do ... Oh, no, closed. So I think I'm going to trade in future holidays like that I'm not excited about and be like, no, I'm going to have a 3-day weekend somewhere else when things are open and not everyone in the world is off. Less people, more conveniences for Gary. It's a win for everyone.
I also think it's different this year amongst the years because we're home all the time, so we want to do a thing, versus like maybe other years where we would just be fine staying home. But it's like there's been so much of that that it's like I'd like to go do something. I'd like to sit in a movie theater with other people or like something.
We went to a park and did a hike, a park that I've been to myself several times to walk, but the kids hadn't been to. And then there was like a playground at the end, and there were only a few kids, so let them play and be rambunctious. And that was a lovely morning. And then what did I do in the afternoon? Oh, then I worked on the fountain out back. I have a water fountain. It came with the house. Oh yeah, it came with the house. Have I not recorded by the fountain?
I don't think you're
right. I definitely just pictured like a Hearst scale situation. Like just like a very grand fountain, Gatsby, like huge.
Yeah, I do feel a little like I should be like toasting with a martini or whatever when I'm near it. It does feel very elegant, especially. I will have to find a picture of the fountain and or record near it. Recording near it right now would be a little rude because I cleaned it. And as a result, like it is now pumping like Niagara Falls in the summer. It is loud. But when I cleaned it, I also bumped the pump and where the wire comes through. So like I filled it up and then 2 days later, it was like almost empty. What the heck? And realized that I probably knocked like the plug loose that in the bottom.
Yeah, that pesky pump bump.
It's actually like, so I got some like tar and like actually tarred the hole where the cable comes through last night.
You didn't need to get a sump pump to fix your pump bump?
I have a sump pump, but that's in the basement and I didn't install that. That was the guy that was, I told you about the guy.
What it really was, there's a lump in the pump that like, got bumped.
He had Opera on his phone and was putting in like the concrete over the sump line with his hand. And I walked down there because I heard this music. I'm sure I told you about this. Did I not? So when I had the sump pump installed, like they dug this trench, these guys in my basement, and the guy leading it, I wish I remember his name. He was great, like wonderful to work with.
He wasn't really a grump.
Not a grumpy sumpy pumpy. But he digs this, they dig this trench and then they put in the pipe and they put in the sump pump, blah, blah, blah. But then they put this concrete over the trench. So the water comes down, it goes in there, whatever. Boring story. So I'm upstairs like working and I hear like opera music coming from the basement. And then I hear someone singing with it. I'm like, so I go downstairs just to see what's going on. Like I've been checking on the guys from time to time.
And then you hit your head on the stairs with a thump.
This sucks. So I get down there. He's got a 5-gallon bucket of concrete and he's scooping it out with his hand and he's singing along with this opera. And so one of the guys that's like been with him for years as a helper, like just makes eye contact with me and like rolls his eyes and shakes his head like, yeah, this is just how he does it. So like just part of his method was listening to opera and singing along while he like lays this concrete by hand and making sure it's smooth. It was, I'm like, all right, what, if that's how you got to get it done. But they were great. If you need a sump pump in Concord, North Carolina, you need to contact Sedona Waterproofing. That's the name, which is weird because Sedona is not
make any sense.
Anywhere close to here. I guess it's like, oh, there's a dry city. But the entire company is great to work with and very proud of their work and, you know, and reasonably priced. Like they weren't the cheapest quote I had, but they were not even anywhere close to the most expensive.
I thought you were going to say reasonably talented, like at opera. Like reasonably fine.
Yeah. Some pump in a show. What more could you want? It's fantastic. This episode
is sponsored by
Sedona Waterproofing of Concord-ish. I actually don't know where they're out of. No, they are out of Concord because their office is right next to my Lowe's. Not my Lowe's, the Lowe's that I shop at. What a stupid story to get around to like me putting tar in my fountain. All right. Well, while somebody else.
There's a lump in the pump that you bumped, which made you want to grump. I mean, it's understandable. You had to get it over the hump.
Yeah.
What if he just talked like that all the time? I don't know if I can handle it.
I can't. I'm looking at my photos. Oh wait, no, that's not where I live. Where do I live? There's my house.
Who knows?
We live on the internet.
I'm going back to one of my early photos of the house.
Yeah, as far as I'm concerned, you live on the internet.
Yeah.
Okay, here's a photo. I'm going to share this in Slack. this is some compelling content right now.
Yeah, good audio content.
Yep.
All right, so pick, it'll show up. Your file has been shared to episodes. In the backyard, you can see right in the middle, a third in from the left of the fountain underneath the light. It's, I don't know how far away it is there. It's actually running in that picture, which is cool.
Ah, yes, there it is.
That's it. That's the fountain. And then past the fountain by 10 feet, there's just a hill drop off. So if you're wandering around back there in the dark, like stop at around the fountain or a few steps past, because you won't see the drop off. And it's a long way down.
And then is there poison ivy at the bottom?
No, the poison ivy's to the right, quite a bit to the right. You wouldn't fall in the poison ivy there. But poison you would
ivy labyrinth.
With David Bowie in the middle.
Yeah.
Decided. Yeah.
If poison ivy wouldn't stop me then.
It wouldn't stop me either. I'd just claw my way through it.
Poison ivy doesn't stop you anyway, Gary.
Yeah.
I know. This is for what it's worth. Like last night I had a bit of a headache and I'm like, well, I need to take some Tylenol. So I took
maybe you just need to roll around the poison ivy for a little bit.
A single children's Tylenol was plenty for me. Yeah. Oh yeah. Medication. I'm like, yeah. Medication kicks my butt.
It's like the opposite of being redheaded. Because, redheads
I'm missing something.
Redheads are, it makes sense. It makes sense. Redheads are more, what's the word?
Reactive, I guess.
No, the opposite of reactive.
Non-reactive?
No. Like they need more anesthetic,
oh,
etc.
Yeah. I think I did know that. Yeah. Yes. Now that you say that, I think I did know that. Geez, I need some headphones to keep my hair in order.
Your secret's out, Gary.
Well, our redhead, our little redhead is a super taster. So I think that, yeah.
It's a lot going on then.
Yeah. Yeah. And obviously, and like the other thing with redheads is they typically get sunburned faster because they're also usually paler. I don't know why that's a thing. Why is that?
I don't know either.
Human evolution.
All my redheaded friends, which makes it sound like I'm just hanging out in a crowd of redheads.
Yeah, just like you go out with your redheaded friends. There's the redheaded friends. Is it
Thursday?
It's
redheaded friends night? Sweet.
All three of my redheaded friends have reported back. So the topic today.
We do have
topic.
Yes. It's fountains.
Not fountains.
Documentary Schismogenesis.
Wait, what?
Sure it is.
And also I love that every time we record, there's that moment before I click into the Zoom where I'm like, they're gonna know this.
Say it again.
Complimentary.
Yes.
Complimentary.
Schismogenesis.
Schismogenesis?
Schismogenesis.
Can you spell it?
Schism.
Schism.
I am
Genesis.
O.
O.
G E N E S I S.
Schismogenesis. Complementary schismogenesis. Obviously, that's the schismogenesis where the one schisma says to the other schisma, "You look great."
You look really great today.
And then out of that compliment, they have a baby. They have a baby schism.
Yeah, let's break this down a little. I don't like that. I don't like your methodology, Chris. Let's break this down. Apparently,
break it down, Gary. I broke into component parts.
You just broke it. That's all you did. It's not broken down. It's just broken. Also, total aside, it turns out that I get in t-shirt rotations because I'm fairly certain this was the one I was wearing last week.
Yep.
Yeah.
So,
for a while, it was purple.
Now you're occupying.
Yeah. Maybe I need to adjust my stack of t-shirts so I get back into purple. I felt really powerful in purple.
This is far more important. How do you organize your t-shirts? Do you just go with you do the laundry and then whatever goes on top goes on top? Or do you because what I do is I cycle them. So whatever goes in the laundry and comes out gets put in the back of the pile Or in that, because I have a row actually. So the back of the row, so there's just a continuous line, and it's not necessarily like exact, like it obviously I don't have it like timed and it's the same order every time, but like the new stuff goes in the back and then the older stuff gets pushed to the front. So I'm not.
Yeah, my t-shirt, I would say my t-shirt sorting methodology, it would be best categorized as complementary schismogenesis. No, I don't know. It's, Rhonda has like the wardrobe and drawers and stuff. And I have like in the closet, I have a shelf where my shirts are, my t-shirts are. I just fold them and put them on a shelf because it's in the closet. The door is closed, whatever. So I kind of work.
You always end up on top because you know, you can't get to the bottom.
I probably get like 6 or 5 shirts like in a rotation. And then those become the shirt until I'm like, I feel like I just wore this shirt. And it's probably true because it probably just happened to come out of the basket and I folded it and put it like at the top, like a day after I wore it. And then I restack and that becomes the shuffle. But honestly, that means the ones in the bottom are, you know, it'd take a lot for them to get back into the mix. I'm going to go home and flip all 3 stacks over, which will be confusing because then like, instead of having the neck, like sort of near the top in the middle, it will be face down.
I have faith that you'll figure it out.
I suggest putting them on their side.
Yeah, I did that in college. I always talked about filing my laundry because I literally in my drawer would file it straight up and down. And people thought that was the dumbest thing. And I'm like, no, it's filed because at that point in life, I cared what shirt I wore on certain days. Now I'm like, you know, I showered and put a shirt on.
Now you just wear Occupy Mars every day.
Yeah, I mean, it's only a week. I've been wearing it for a week. It's still fine. That'd be so gross. We got a total aside. We got a
it's like a Mr. Rogers, you have 7 Occupy Mars t-shirts.
Yeah.
That's a good idea. That's a very good idea.
No, you should have one that has Occupy something different every day.
Yeah, there you go.
Occupy Tuesday and I could wear it on Thursday.
Go through all the planets.
Occupy Mars, Occupy Neptune, Occupy Saturn, Occupy Mercury. None of those other places seem like they'd be very good to occupy, but yeah, well, let's do it.
So the last rover that landed on Mars, right, had the little helicopter. It also, the landing equipment had audio and recorded like the landing. I don't know if you listened to it or not.
I don't think
I'm sure I was hyped afterward. Oh, you should go listen. Just close your eyes and listen to it and just like imagine that this is landing on Mars. It's just so cool. But the joke is that there is a higher percentage of functioning Linux based audio cards on Mars than there are on Earth. And it's not, I mean, like it's a joke, but it's not really like, you know, it's dang. Not totally functional though. They had one microphone fail on the landing.
And that is complementary schismogenesis.
Yeah, so let's like really breaking apart. Complementary obviously indicates that there are 2 components, right? Schismogenesis is a great word. I don't know what it means, but schism is a break, and genesis is like the beginning or start, right? So using my powers of deductive reasoning, complementary schismogenesis is
when 2 schisms get together and they have a little baby schism.
What a baby schism.
I think that it is
what does the baby schism look like is what I want to know.
Like
a small schism, obviously. Like a small schism.
Like a rip or a tear. Yeah. Or
something. Oh, it's complementary schismogenesis is 2 sides of the same story about the beginning of the end. That's a reach. That's a real big reach. I don't know why I'm so motivated to actually think this one through today. I feel like there's enough clues here, Chris. We should be able to get this one.
I like my definition.
I don't.
So what you were saying, is that schismogenesis is a story about the beginning of the end. And that complementary schismogenesis is the 2 conflicting or competing stories.
So what are those
2 schismogenesis is, oh, sorry, go ahead.
No, what are the 2 stories of the beginning of the end then that are conflicting?
Oh, no, this is like a literary device so that a reminder that you can have multiple endings or beginnings to the ending in your story. I think about it now, complementary schismogenesis. Well, no, schism is break, right? Like a tearing apart. Yes.
We're not giving you any help, Gary. You went down this road. You're going to have to figure out your own way.
Genesis. Genesis is like the creation, the beginning, the like a seminal idea, right? Like the genesis of a thought is the beginning of a thought. No? So I just don't see how break and beginning stack. I got nothing. I've talked myself out of anything here. This isn't a real word.
Sorry for my distractedness. Robin's like coming in and out of the room, like clearly talking on the phone. I'm just like being like.
Are you on the laptop or do you have like a webcam perched on top of a monitor?
I'm on a laptop.
You should take the laptop next time he comes in and point it at him and be like, now you're on air, and he will scurry away.
I think it's an important phone call. Otherwise, he probably wouldn't have taken it like in the same room.
Oh. Yeah. That doesn't make sense.
Time will tell.
That's fair.
He comes over and like slams the laptop closed, like it's an important housing related call. We'll understand.
Yeah.
That would be like the genesis of this episode.
Schismogenesis of the episode.
The schismogenesis is when we get the notification that there's 10 minutes remaining on the Zoom call.
It's a Tool song. Schismogenesis. I'm like being totally serious. I'm pretty sure it is.
I think Schism is a Tool song.
Probably what I'm thinking of, yeah. Is that the one that's like in 13/8 time or something silly like that?
They're all in 13/8 time, aren't they?
I don't know. I'm going to listen to some Tool after this, but I'm not going to do it on my headphones or earbuds because...
So you're going to listen to
20 miles away
out of your crappy, tinny little laptop speakers.
What are you talking about? This is Apple. There's plenty of resonant bullshit space or some marketing stuff like that. Yeah. That's
what there's resonant bullshit and it's still bullshit. Yeah.
Yeah, it is totally. Yeah. Yeah. I am pretty happy, though, that they've made the IMAX different colors again.
Yes.
That's my one thought on Apple.
I like that they coordinate with the keyboard and mouse and everything.
Mm-hmm. No, it's so pleasant. Like we're due to replace the iMac that the kids use for school. And I've been like, since the M1 was announced, I kind of was like, well, let's wait. Now I'm like, well, like I kind of had in mind like what we needed requirement wise for storage, not really for RAM on the new M1 because it's a little funky. But the thing I wasn't prepared to think about was what color do we need on the wall?
It feels like a big commitment.
I am waiting for them to apply those colors to the MacBooks.
I hope so.
Because they've got the colors for the phones, they've got the colors for the iMacs. Come on, let's just make it all the way around. Let's add some brightness to the, like it's so iconic, the gray, the silver, whatever laptop. But wouldn't it be more iconic to be like solid, you know, red or yellow or like, you know, like, and
but it's cyclical, right? Remember like the old iBooks that came in a bunch of colors, like the plastic clamshell iBook was, it's, you know, so like the color will be here for a few years and then people will tire of that and they will go back to this like very stark, much more simple design and we'll all be like, ooh. And
we don't have an
iMac. I mean, what's old is new again. Anymore. Hell, look at the Greeks. They even did it with their columns, right? You had like, you know, whatever, like the Doric column was like very simple. And I'm sure that after like a bunch of Ionic columns, people were like, damn, that Doric column looks really slick. It's sharp. It pops.
That like, and that is complementary schismogenesis.
It's a load of bullshit, but whatever.
We don't have an iMac anymore.
Yeah.
We retired it because Gavin built a computer, so he has his own computer, and we don't have it, and it's up in his room now. So we now have an empty space that is hopefully going to be filled by a Glowforge, which is one of those laser engraver cutter things.
Nice.
Yeah.
When the kids started homeschooling, we mounted the iMac. Like, I got an arm to mount it on the wall and the adapter. So it's like underneath their desk, but keyboard and mouse can put away, and it's mounted there. And so it can pivot to whoever's using it, whichever side of the table or,
nice,
you know, it's super useful. Love that setup. But it was pretty slow computer then because it has a spinny hard drive.
Mm-hmm.
And so I bought an external SSD thinking like, well, this will get us like another like year out of it. It'll cost me $50, you know?
Mm.
But honestly, it's so much better. Like, we've been using that external hard drive now for 2 years and no longer than that, 2.5 years. And I mean, it gave that computer a bunch more life. So
did you like reinstall everything onto the SSD?
Totally cloned it. It took like 18 hours because of how slow the hard drive was to clone the SSD. And then set up a bootloader to boot from the SSD.
Yeah, and then you just wipe the other thing. Yeah, well, that makes sense.
And it's through USB, I guess three. I don't know, maybe it's two. It doesn't matter. It's fast enough. Like, you can't tell that it's not.
Gavin's,
you can tell if you're running on that spinny hard drive, it's fast enough for the
kids. We had a hard time getting Gavin's computer to read the SSD drive that he got for it. So I had an old hard drive that I ripped out of an old computer that I built. And I'm like, oh, well, let's just see if we can get Windows installed onto this and then we can figure it out. Because I think that a lot of the tutorials about like installing Windows onto an SSD started with having a separate hard drive and then cloning it over to the SSD drive. So we're like, well, let's do that. And that got it done. And then we were able to use the other thing as the main drive. But I've noticed I don't use this computer often, but I've gotten on it, that it does seem certain things seem slow, and there's no reason it should be slow at all. And I think it is the old hard drive that it's just trying to churn through. So we need to get that thing out of there, basically. I would need to figure out probably what the implications of that are, because I don't think everything has been copied over. I think Windows still lives on the slow hard drive. I think, but then as it builds, it's like creates a separate partition for the Windows operating system anyway. So maybe it doesn't even, maybe it's like just a hidden hard drive that I'm not seeing. I don't understand Windows anymore. It's been 20 years. It doesn't make any sense. And that is complementary schismogenesis. When you knew a thing and now you don't know a thing and you're trying to do that thing again, and it doesn't make sense anymore.
I feel like when I hear the definition, they're going to be like, oh, of course, or oh, that's a cool one.
Those are the two options.
yeah, the only two options.
I don't know. I think Dyson's sphere, the option was like, oh. Yeah. Oh.
But it wasn't that. But it wasn't. It wasn't. It was like, oh, that's yeah.
Can we take a detour? Cooking with Gary.
We always do.
When do we not take detours?
So this past Sunday, I was like, I'm going to do chicken and dumplings. That was the topic. Chicken and dumplings is what I did this past Sunday. So
you made a Dyson sphere of chicken. You made one of those chicken balls.
No, I don't want to talk about the, chicken. but I got just a whole chicken and went that route. But I want to talk about the dumplings, because I used whole wheat flour and actually like did like real dumplings on the counter, like hand rolled, and like it was my first time like attempting any kind of doughing operation. Maybe not the first time, like first time solo. Like, I certainly helped make cookies and whatnot, but it was good. It was edible.
Cookies are a different beast though.
Yeah,
a cookie is forgiving because it's like got
sugar
stuff in it. Yeah.
Yeah, so I think next time I won't use whole wheat flour, just for comparison's sake, just to see. But I was reasonably happy. Like, nothing was raw. It all worked out. I made like a vegetarian version with some, I got the, I went to Publix and bought like three different colors of carrots.
So Publix is a grocery chain for those of you who don't live in the South.
Yeah, it's a very nice one. I mean, not very nice, but like produce is good. And then also I did potatoes on the side, and they were also available in three colors. And then I realized, like, oh, it's Memorial Day. This is like a USA like hoorah thing. And then I was more disappointed. Because I was like, well, look at just the beauty of this. Like the colors, the carrots just popped. It was great. And then I'm like, oh crap.
Are either of you familiar? There's a Himalayan food that is like dumplings. It's called momos.
No, I've not had momos.
Yeah.
You stole my heart. So I live on the edge of Little Tibet, and I'm surrounded by maybe 20 Tibetan restaurants.
Oh my God. So there's there's like one place locally that makes momos.
They are so good.
Yeah.
And there's so many different options that they have. Every year they do a momo crawl where you get this little passport.
Are you kidding me?
And you just go from place to place. It's impossible. They give you like five momos at each place and you're just like, I can't do this.
So yeah, there's like
four
one
in your
place,
pocket.
There's one place that does momos, and then the other place that we had momos from was one of those Spice Kitchen incubator things that works with the refugee community. And then one of those places made momos. So there's really only two places I can think of off the top of my head that makes momos. So we've like, because we want momos, I made it a point to try to figure out how to make them. And the thing with momos is that they are dumplings, which A, are going to be really difficult to work with like the dough anyway. And B, the dough probably isn't gluten-free, and trying to make a gluten-free dumpling like batter doesn't exist. So our hack for creating momos is using rice paper. Like you make the filling, you cook the filling, which is stir frying a bunch of shredded things, and you make the sauce. The sauce is the thing that makes the difference, right? And I got a good recipe for the sauce. And then you just get the filling and you should put it in a rice paper and kind of fold it up a little bit. And then it becomes, I mean, it's not exactly the same, but it's pretty darn close, and it doesn't taste any different because most of what you're tasting is the filling and the sauce anyway.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
Because I was thinking, as you're talking about your dumplings, Gary, that like you're talking to two people who are generally gluten-free, and dumplings aren't a thing. We have to hack them.
I was actually doing research on gluten-free dough last night, because I was thinking I could probably make this gluten-free, and
Maybe you could make it gluten-free, but for a lot of things like that, it's like gluten-free or vegan, but not both, because either it's the gluten that holds it together or it's the egg that holds it together. If you take both away, then it becomes very difficult to have some sort of a replacement that holds all the pieces together. There are
a fair bit of baking. If this is your first like foray, I would like experiment more with just the regular old different types of flour and then go from there.
And I don't like mind, I honestly don't mind failure in the kitchen. Like I'm happy to like make a dish and be like, well, that was a disaster, and throw it away. Like it's fine. Like that's kind of my purpose in doing this, is like really like forcing myself to do things other than like, hey kids, I'm gonna make you grilled cheese sandwiches. Like I can do better than that. So
yes, you can. I believe in you. And that is complimentary.
I love the science of it.
That's the part I'm most excited about. Like, I'm Googling like why? Well, here's a good one. I don't understand. So in the flour, it had like, I took, and I was all excited. I was getting like frustrated with you for delaying it, but now I'm going to delay it. So whatever. But I had to take butter and like hand mix the butter in, right, into small pieces. And I was thinking about like, what's like there, obviously this is not going to be completely integrated, this butter, right? And then I poured milk in there. So like, it's nowhere close to gluten-free or vegan, obviously, like it's just whatever, but
a true dumpling might not be.
No. And right. And then like, I had to, I don't know, in any case. And then I added it to like chicken broth from a chicken I did whatever with in the morning. So yeah, it was three strikes in like a single part of the dish. It's crazy. But yeah, I was thinking as I'm mixing this butter in, like like my inherent concept in my head is I need this to be completely integrated, right? And I don't, and I didn't. I was able to restrain myself, but like I wanted it to be completely integrated because I wanted this, like, because in my head, like it has to work that way, but it doesn't. Like these little pockets of butter just become part of, when you roll it out, the thing. And then when you cut those things and you put them in, like, whatever. If there's butter close to the edge, it's just gonna melt and who cares? And if it's not, it's gonna like get hotter than the surrounding dough and make, you know, finish that spot. Yeah,
you really learn a lot from Great British Bake Off about these sorts of
from what?
Great British Bake Off.
British Bake Off. Have you ever watched that?
I have, but I've never like we turned it on and I'm like, we've watched it before and I've never really paid attention because I'm like, this is like way beyond anything I understand. Like I watch it for like the silly bits and like I always cheer for the goofiest person. Just, and Rhonda's like, well, that's neat. And I'm like, I got nothing. But now I'm probably going to suggest we circle back to it.
Do you have a pastry blender?
What?
It's a pastry blender. It's like a, well.
We got one for margaritas.
Packed, but anyway. It's a tool that helps you blend pastry.
No, we do not.
Instead of using a fork or something, I don't know. It's just makes it easier. If you make enough pie crusts, you'll get one.
I was like, I'm not going to make a mess. So I put the Saran wrap down on the counter, thinking like I could put Saran wrap down and work on top of that. I know. I didn't.
And that's what parchment paper is for. Top. If you're going to do that, that's what parchment.
And then took my dough and put it down there and started to roll. And I'm like, well, that was a failure. So then I was just on the bare counter, which also worked out fine. But
it all turns out.
How you learn things.
It's a complimentary schismogenesis.
Yes.
Complimentary schismogenesis is based on cybernetic systems theory, which we can go into that a different time, but it's basically a series of positive feedback loops where each loop amplifies the action of the other. So A on B is acting on A on B.
Oh,
I was right.
It results in increasing entropy and then basically until they collapse.
I was correct. You get two schisms.
Not
and
really.
Then they get together and they the one schism says to the other schism, you're really nice. And then they create a baby schism and the baby schism goes on to create more schisms.
It's like in Apollo 8 when the input from the computer indicated thrusting in the wrong direction. I don't remember who was the pilot, but as a result, they were actually like trying to follow the computer information that came in and they were making things worse. And so he ignored the computer, managed to get the spacecraft under control shortly before they blacked out and died. I think it was Apollo 8. I'm gonna have to, and now my day will be spent researching the Apollo program again.
Well, there's two types of schismogenesis. There's symmetrical and complementary. So
symmetrical would counteract itself?
That's intensification between competitive rivals. So the same action makes the same action in another one. So like the Cold War, where it's like both doing the same action in response to each other versus like, complimentary would be the opposite. So if I start talking louder and then you start talking quieter to try to get me to talk quieter.
And then you start talking louder because you think that I'm getting further away or something like that. Yeah. Wow.
Soon Gary's just speaking and then we don't have a show.
Well, according to Zoom, that's going to be the case.
They all end in conflict.
So like in the computing world, it would be like, if you called an API that called back to your API, that in turn called an API. Or like a email that forwarded back and forth to itself.
It is a pyramid scheme. No, it's one of those. It's one of those stupid email memes that are like forward, re. Your awesome house plan today.
Or something. Re.
Yeah.
Love grandma.
Yeah. Love grandma.
Love grand. Yeah. It wouldn't be your grandma's name.
Yeah, it's like a doc file. It's like a Word 95 doc file.
Thank you for listening to Binary Jazz. If you like this episode, you can subscribe to us on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, and Stitcher. You can visit us online at binaryjazz.us or follow us on Twitter at @BinaryJazz. Don't forget that you can ask us a question through the form on the website or on Twitter, and we'll read it aloud on the next episode of Binary Jazz.